The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. Welcome. It is Wednesday, November 2nd, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us. We got a great show for you this Wednesday, as usual, coming at you. And people in the studio today, we've got Wiz Calico joining us here in studio. How you doing, Calico?
Aloha.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
It's been a while since we've heard an aloha from you. Glad
yes,
to
sir.
Have you here.
Figured I'd stop on in.
How's classes going?
Good. I'm quite overwhelmed. I got a lot of stuff making up to do, but I mean, I'm slowly getting there, so things are going well.
I saw a great picture of you and Ganja John and the laid back lumberjack watching Michael Moore at the Occupy Portland yesterday. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Michael Moore came and stopped by the Portland Occupy there. He was doing a book signing at Powell's at 6 and decided to stop by. He said it was the largest occupation he's seen. He was so surprised by all of the tents taking up two full city blocks and now moving their way into the third one. And that's a federal plaza, which obviously caused a little dust up.
Yeah, it will. We'll keep you posted on that. Talk a little bit more about that in hour two. Also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, is the incredibly wise and beneficent Cannabis Carrie. How you doing, Carrie?
Wow. Hi, that's much better than senior.
Well, you know, I know everybody knows you're lovely and talented. I thought we should point out some of your other fine and charming qualities.
She can make a pumpkin pie.
That's right. Carrie does our news here at the top of the hour right after this first break. So what do we got in headlines today?
Well, we're going to talk about part of the medical community in California that says yes to legalization and the national group that says no. Also, we're going to talk about one of the activists in our community, Dana Beal. He's come up a few times. I've got some updates on him. Firstly, though, we're going to go to some election results coming out of Colorado. Not great news, but news no less.
Right. We'll cover that. Also, some news up here in the Pacific Northwest for the New Approach Washington folks, and a couple of world news updates that I'll bring you at the end of the news. So thanks, Carrie. We'll get to that here in just a moment. Also, our own Pookie 420 from the chat room wanted me to remind people about the Ohio petition campaign going on, trying to get medical marijuana. They've qualified it for petition gathering, but they got a whole bunch of signatures they got to collect. So chat up Pookie 420 on the chat room there, or send me an email at stash@normal.org. And I'll make sure that you get the information you need to get involved in Ohio. Also on today's show, Calico's here to do some Irie Wednesday music from Iration. We'll speak with Dr. Mitch Earlywine and get your live questions on cannabis culture, history, science, and medicine. And then at the end of the show, some of our own Idaho activists are profiled by the Boise News Channel, which does a smear job against medical marijuana. I'm going to tear it apart right here for your enjoyment. Stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live. We're right back after this.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
That's the Dirt Ball from Suburban Noise Records, Cottonmouth Kings. This is Normal Show Live. Keep it right here. Yeah.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply of the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Tuesday's election results are trickling in at Fort Collins, Colorado, and the unofficial results from the election shows that the voters of Fort Collins have decided that there will be no medical marijuana businesses in the town of about 144,000 residents, the fourth largest town in the state. An update as of 2 hours ago shows that with just a few thousand ballots remaining to be counted, the yeses are ahead by over 2,300 votes at this time. That's about 53% of the voters answering yes on what they are calling question 300, the number of the referendum that would ban dispensaries, and 47% of the voters voting no to the ban on dispensaries. Now, the group behind the referendum, Concerned Fort Collins Citizens, say that they were confident that the measure would prevail and took a shot at state labor groups that had showed their support of the dispensaries. Ray Martinez, one of the leaders of the group, told the Denver Post this morning, quote, "This to me is a clear picture that the Denver Union cannot come to Fort Collins and try to purchase us. We are not for sale." Now, opponents of the ban did raise more than $100,000 to fight it, and Martinez's group only spent around $14,000. Ray Martinez also told some cheering supporters last night at the victory party that it would send a strong message to the city council that approved regulations in the town that Fort Collins is a family-oriented town that does not want to be known as a city of potheads. Steve Ackerman, who is with the Organic Alternatives Dispensary, said that they were waiting until the end results before they make a statement. With the measure, city officials would shut down 20 dispensaries in the city, the largest impact on the medical marijuana industry in the 7 different ballot measures around the state that have to do with dispensary bans. So far, it appears that bans in Steamboat Springs, Oak Creek, Palisades, and Rout County have failed, while a ban in Yampa and Brush appear to have won. Now, the fate of 92 medical marijuana businesses, including 34 different dispensaries, and also those 20, that includes those 20 dispensaries in Fort Collins, were all on the line. The counting is expected to continue today, and we will bring you more results and the aftermath later this week.
Wow. You know, I guess the economy must be really good in Fort Collins, Colorado compared to, you know, the rest of the country. I guess they've just got jobs and commercial real estate to just throw away. I mean, cause there's so much other places to work, right? Steve Ackerman from that Organic Alternatives was also quoted in the Northern Colorado Business Report. He said, quote, "I and 20 other businesses will close our doors. 40 pieces of commercial real estate will probably default. 200 plus people will have no jobs, and all medical marijuana needs will be taken care of by a gray to black market," end quote. The paper further states that medical marijuana dispensaries paid Fort Collins, Colorado $440,000 in taxes from January 2010 to June 2011. Like I said, I guess Fort Collins, Colorado is just rolling in dough and employment opportunities. opportunities and places for commercial real estate, because in any other town, I think this would be a major blow to the economy.
And the directors of the American Society for Addiction Medicine had a meeting on Sunday in Washington to discuss their recent California chapter. The California chapter of the American Society for Addiction in California has been considering support for supporting a legalization measure in the state. The report from three of their top California members say they would like to see California replace the state's besieged medical marijuana program with a legalization model that would treat marijuana like alcohol, regulated for adults only, and taxed so the program can pay for its own regulation and have money left over for treatment programs. The California chapter leaders in their letter to the national organization said, quote, the best course of action would be to replace the current system of medical marijuana dispensaries and physician recommendations with a more strictly regulated system in which physicians are no longer gatekeepers for access, and fees and taxes for marijuana sales preferentially support education, prevention, and intervention for youth with marijuana-related problems. But the national chapter of the American Society for Addiction Medicine has decided to restate their opposition to marijuana legalization, a stance that they have always had. They released a statement that read, quote, we oppose any changes in law and regulation that would lead to a sudden, significant increase in the availability of any dependence-producing drug. This policy includes marijuana, a mood-altering drug capable of producing dependence as well as serious negative mental, emotional, behavioral, and physical consequences. The American Society for Addiction Medicine was admitted to the American Medical Association House of Delegates as voting members back in 1990.
Well, isn't it interesting that the doctors in California, the California Medical Association, and the California addiction doctors agree that we should just move forward with legalization for lots of reasons, one of which being when it's legalized, it makes it a whole lot easier to study what the medical uses really are and how to, you know, exactly regulate and organize that, maybe even come up with better delivery mechanisms for some patients who don't want a high, or people who don't want to use smoke. I mean, there's vaporizers, but there could be inhalers, there could be sprays. You know, we've pointed that out about the pharmaceuticalization of marijuana. That's not necessarily a bad thing, so long as people still have access to whole plant cannabis. But it can't happen in a situation where the federal government is going to seize the assets and imprison the CEOs of any company that wants to get involved in the research and development of this. So let's move forward with this and continue along with medical marijuana in these states. In California specifically, these doctors have found out that it just doesn't work as advertised, that you cannot have only 10% of the people being covered by a medical marijuana law and the other 90% trying to get at those legal dispensaries and that legal access. It makes doctors the gatekeepers, if you will, of this substance. It should just be legalized for adult use, allow adults to make their own decisions regarding marijuana use, and then the people that really want to use it medically can still continue to do so, and the doctors will have a much easier time studying it. It's only these national bodies, when they start talking about the politics in Washington, D.C., that they start opposing this. Let's listen to the boots on the ground, the experts in the field in California who've seen how it's been working for 15 years. As of this Friday, the 15th anniversary of medical marijuana in California passing in Prop 215. Let's believe the doctors instead of the politicians.
And an update on an activist in our community, Dana Beale, the chief organizer of the Global Marijuana March, formerly the Million Marijuana March, was busted in Wisconsin for possession of 169 pounds of medical marijuana last year. And earlier this year, he was sentenced to 5 years, half to be served in prison and half on probation. He had served just 9 months, but soon after being sentenced and on his way to prison, a strange thing happened to him. He had a heart attack, and he claims that he died. But miraculously, he was revived and treated, and the authorities began calculating the consequences of keeping Dana in prison. He needed heart surgery and much follow-up care. They decided it was too costly and voided the remainder of his prison sentence. According to Beale, they reinstated his bail. He says they had been holding the $5,000 he had already given them and then just agreed to void his prison sentence. Beale praised Normal Madison. He said he had great support from Normal and really appreciated their help. And as for his recent bust, he told the Village Voice, quote, it wasn't really such a huge amount when you break it up between 20,000 registered patients in Michigan, plus patients back in New York and D.C. Patients are paying $10, $15, and $20 a gram, and many can't afford it back in the East because they're on SSI. They already pay thousands of dollars for meds each month. Our pot retails at $4, $5, and $6, a quality generic product for poor people. You do the math. The pot bus would have saved patients $500,000 to $800,000. There's never enough good, cheap, medical-grade cannabis. I guess I'd agree with him there. Dana says that the arrest now, he sees it as a blessing in disguise since he had the heart attack in custody and received quick and proper medical attention. Now, we hope his luck continues after beating one rap and escaping death. Now, Dana faces a pending charge in Nebraska, where he was arrested in 2009 with 150 pounds of medical marijuana. Beal says he was taking that back to the East to help treat patients. So we wish Dana Beal good luck.
Dana Beal has all of the best intentions in the world, and neither he nor anybody who is involved in the marijuana trade in any circumstance, whether medical or not, deserves prison. Nobody deserves prison over a plant. That said, what I do wish Dana would look into is using better vehicles. Both of these cases that we're talking about involving pounds and pounds, hundreds of pounds of marijuana in the back of some van, we're talking about no registration, you know, expired tags, broken tail lights. I mean, come on, somebody give Dana a much better vehicle, a minivan, you know, something that looks like a soccer mom van. Give him something they're not likely to pull over. You know, bless the work that he's doing trying to bring low-cost marijuana back to the people in the East. And let's think about this prison for a second. This prison and this law enforcement industry that felt that this man, this 60, what, he's 69, 67, something like that. How old is he, Carrie? Do you know? Does it say in the story? No idea.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think he's early 60s.
He's in his 60s somewhere. But for some reason, you know, we felt like this guy was such a danger to society, trucking marijuana across the Midwest, that we have to put him in prison and spend tens of thousands of dollars a year to keep him locked up. But the minute he has a heart attack and we're looking at heart surgery, and it's the hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep him alive, oh, well, I guess he's not that dangerous. Let this guy go. And the main thing, they put a number price like that. I guess they really don't think it through like that, but you're willing to spend money to keep him imprisoned healthy, but you're not willing to spend the money to keep him imprisoned sick. It just shows you how absurd the entire situation has become.
Agreed. And just a reminder of the holiday that's celebrated in many parts of the world today and yesterday, but mostly in Mexico and increasingly in the U.S., today is El Día de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead. Families celebrate by taking picnics to cemeteries and decorating the graves of departed relatives. And today marks the 2,120th day of deaths under Felipe Calderón's watch as president of Mexico. In that time, over 40,000 people have died violently with links to the fight on the war on drugs in that country. Yesterday in Juarez and many other communities in Mexico, protesters walked in the streets to ask the government for a change of policy and to help end the needless deaths.
Carrie, how is it that we can get you through Dia de los Muertos so well, but Martinez throws you for a loop? It's Martinez, oh. Carrie, Martinez!
Thank you.
Oh, speaking of Mexico, I did want to bring up a little update we got from the Washington Post. Remember when we talked about the catapults, Carrie? You remember that? We had marijuana catapults that were throwing big bales of weed right over the border. Well, they caught a couple more of these here. Mexican soldiers. This is reported by Washington Post. Military statement says Tuesday that an anonymous tip led troops to a house in the border city of Agua Prieta, where they found a catapult in the bed of a pickup truck and another inside the house. It says soldiers also seized 1.4 tons during Monday's raid, which is across the border from Douglas, Arizona. Catapults to send marijuana across the border. They won't stop. It's never going to stop. And one other world news update here. The trial for the 14-year-old Australian boy facing marijuana charges on Indonesia's Bali Island, well, that begins today, went on trial Tuesday, on charges of possessing marijuana while on vacation with his parents on Indonesia's resort island of Bali. The boy, wearing a mask to protect his identity, arrived at Denpasar District Court with his mother for a brief closed-door hearing. The prosecutor later told reporters that the boy from Australia faces up to 12 years in prison if found guilty of buying 3.6 grams of marijuana on October 4th while vacationing with his parents and a 13-year-old friend. That's an eighth, folks. Bought an eighth of marijuana, 12 years in prison 14-year-old boy. He said two community guards saw the boy pull the drugs out of his pocket after his arrest. The boy's lawyer said he could escape jail time because he is a minor and appeared to have been purchasing the drug for personal use, not distribution. Not distribution. He's going to break the eighth up, I guess, and sell grams. Sure. Rifan said that in the best case, he would be allowed to return home in the custody of his parents. The trial being closely watched in Australia continues Friday. This is just, of course, another travesty of this war on drugs. A kid with an eighth, you know, alleged to have been buying an eighth, just goes to show you that even in Indonesia, where they have the death penalty for drugs, for trafficking in drugs, someone was willing to sell to a kid an eighth of marijuana. We've got to legalize this and end the pressure on these nations from punishing people like this. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got Wiz Khalifa with some Ivory Wednesday music and an interview with Iration. We'll be right back.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Normal Show Live welcomes all of our lurking guests from Bong TV Live. But be careful. Stick around here too long and you might learn something.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
Well, look who we got back in the studio. It's Wiz Khalifa here with your Ivory Wednesday music. What do we got here? Something special.
Something a little special. This past weekend, Ganja John and I got to go check out Iration, one of my favorite bands on the Ivory Island Hour. Of course, they're from California, but they all hail from Hawaii originally. We got to do an interview, quick interview with Adam, the bassist from Iration, on their tour bus this Sunday. We just want to go ahead and plug their tour, which they're still got a week left on. So if you guys are in California or the Arizona area in the next week, be sure to check out irationmusic.com and check out their tour dates, because you guys got to check out their shows, and they got a couple special downloads available for people who show up there. So
right on. So we've got an interview here.
So we got an interview with Adam, and then right after that, we're going to go ahead and play their song Changed My Mind off of their Time Bomb album, which was their newest release.
All right, set it off. Let's go.
Okay.
This is Adam from Iration with Coleco.
Hello, everyone. This is Coleco from the Irie Island Hour. We're hanging out here with Adam from Iration. We're hanging out behind the Hawthorne Theater here for their fall laid back tour 2011. They're going to be playing here with Through the Roots and Tomorrow's Bad Seeds. And we just want to welcome Adam. What's up, man?
Hey, thank you guys for having me. I'm stoked to be a part of this.
Adam, of course, is the bassist. You guys have, what, five guys in your band? Six guys in your band?
There's six of us. Engineer, keys, drums, bass, guitar, and two vocalists.
And where are you guys based out of in California?
Well, we all live in Santa Barbara.
And I know a lot of you guys also have roots to Hawaii as well, huh?
Yeah, actually, the whole band is from Hawaii. We met in high school, and some of us even before that, and moved out to Santa Barbara for college, and that's kind of where the band got started.
Cool. So it just started as a college band, and you guys, obviously now, you got an awesome tour bus. You guys are constantly touring, so, I mean, I've seen you guys at least five times up here in Portland.
Yeah, I mean, we started just as a hobby, basically, just for the love of playing music, and it's developed into a full career, and we couldn't be happier. And yeah, we love the vibe in Oregon and Portland especially. It's cool to come here.
And you guys recently got hooked up with Law Records, right?
Yeah, we released our album Time Bomb on Law Records, and we're really excited about that. The guys from Pepper, obviously, who own the label, are basically our mentors and have kind of given us our break in the industry and helped bring us out and show us how to tour properly and how to really kind of do it.
Nice. Well, you know, obviously Pepper was just recently here, so we got to check out their show and hang out with Assad, so that was really cool. So,
nice.
And I know you guys also, who else is on the Law Records, Expendables?
No, it's Pepper, Iration, Pacifier, and the Supervillains.
Supervillains,
oh,
right.
Oh, sorry, and Ballyhoo actually just joined.
Right, and they just dropped their album recently as well.
Yeah. That's right.
Cool. So how much longer you guys got left on the tour? We just want to inform our listeners all over the place where they can be checking you guys out here.
This is actually the final leg. We're basically just traveling down the West Coast from here. We've got a few dates in California coming up, two shows at House of Blues San Diego, House of Blues Sunset in L.A., San Fran, and a few other stops in there, too.
Well, you hear that. We got a lot of listeners in California, so be sure you guys go and check out irationmusic.com so you guys can check out their tour dates. And I know you guys have recently released a few new singles as well, huh?
Yeah, we're pretty excited about that, actually. This is the first time we've ever done anything like that. And basically, we recorded two singles, and we're giving them away for free to the fans. And the only way you can get No Time is by actually coming to these shows, and you just go to the merch booth and sign up on our iPad with your email address, and we email it to you, and you become part of our newsletter. And the other track, we're involved with FanCore, and fans can be involved by reposting things online, commenting on YouTube videos, handing out flyers, and the more points they earn, they earn free merchandise from us, as well as that single.
Cool. I think, you know, obviously, we're on the internet. We're internet based, so I think it's really cool to see where technology has gone. Obviously, you know, and independent labels being able to make their way in the industry now, and obviously putting out a lot of different artists, and them being able to get the exposure without, you know, having to go through the old medium of the, you know, the basic.
Yeah,
corporate structure.
Totally. We were lucky enough that right when our band was starting, social networking and things like that were just taking off, and we were really lucky to be a part of that whole movement when it was just starting, and yeah, it's been definitely really helpful for us.
Awesome. Well, you guys be sure to check them out at irationmusic.com, and one more time, where can they check out that FanCore?
It's FanCore, FanCorps, .com/iration.
And of course, you guys got to get to their show here within the last week of their laid back tour, so be sure to be checking them out so you guys can sign up on their iPad and get those downloads. So be sure to be checking them out. Adam, we just don't want to take up too much of your time. We appreciate you guys spending time on the Ivy Island Hour and having us and supporting Normal. Thank you a lot.
Anytime, man. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you.
times. But when I saw you last night, girl, no, I just couldn't define. The way you looked in that dress, girl, I saw your mouth in my name. And I just got to confess, girl, I felt that something had changed. I said, I'm like, what's in that line? And I know I said I was doing just fine. But after what you did to me last night, ooh, girl, you changed my mind. For a while, girl, and yeah, you've always been down. But when I saw you last night, girl, I said I knew I had found the one to break down my walls until they crumble to dust. Yeah. You're the one that can change me. You're the one I can trust. I see that my crossing that line, and I know.
Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
You know what they say. See a broad to get that booty yak. Leg her down or smack them, yak them. Cold got to be. You know?
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And if you're one of the 26 million Americans who smoked marijuana last year, you need to get involved in the drive to legalize marijuana. We need your help to stop the senseless arrests of more than 800,000 Americans each year on marijuana charges. Together, we can end marijuana prohibition and stop the arrests of marijuana smokers. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORNL.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You West Vienna, Malgo. Broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to. Broke down barrier. Boost the economy and. Broke down barrier. It's helping other states. Broke down barrier. Cannabis for legalized to. Broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice. Broke down barrier. We gonna change the law. Broke down barrier. We got to educate. Broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know. Bigging up USVI normal. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a nonprofit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvinorml.org.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to our Cannabis Science segment with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. We're working on getting Dr. Mitch on the line here, currently getting a busy signal, so we'll try back at his line here again in just a moment. I just received an email from Dr. Mitch regarding a new study that had come out. Had to do with a look at childhood trauma and its role in the development of psychosis amongst some of these people. Give us some more details on what this tells us about the use of cannabis and psychosis.
What I loved about this one was they found that standard link we hear about between cannabis and psychosis, but then they said, hang on, let's take a second look here and make sure this is really from the cannabis and not from something else. Sure enough, when you take into account the fact that a lot of these folks were traumatized as kids, then suddenly that link between cannabis and psychosis disappears, and it's really a link between childhood trauma and psychosis, and suddenly we've got a real explanation, something that makes sense with a lot of our models of schizophrenia and other psychotic disorders, and an explanation that isn't insanely consistent with what drug warriors have been trying to pass off since, a thousand years ago or so.
How is this, when they take these studies and they fail to take into account other explanations, I mean, how prevalent is that in these anti-marijuana or marijuana and psychosis studies?
Well, in part because you can't randomly assign people to smoke marijuana or not ethically. That's, in fact, rampant. So every one of the big data sets that's always sort of carted out every time we have this conversation, but those big data sets that come out of Scandinavia have failed to look at this. Some of the stuff that's been done in New Zealand, despite how good it tends to be done with the genetic aspects, this combination of genes and cannabis use has never measured that as well. And so I feel like this is an extremely compelling alternative explanation for all the previous links that have been shown between cannabis use and schizophrenia or schizotypal personality or any of the psychotic disorders. And I feel like childhood trauma just makes a whole lot more sense as a cause than a weed that's 5,000 years old.
That makes sense to me, too. We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine here in our Cannabis Science segment. You can get your questions in via our chat room or by calling in live to 971-533-7111. And we have a lot of questions that come across here about different strains for different uses. What would be good for this treatment or that treatment? And oftentimes we hear back, well, we just don't have the research on that. We don't know because it's not legal. We can't find out. But is there anything in general we can tell people as they're shopping for a cannabis strain, what they might look for their particular condition?
Sad but true, we have discussed it in the past. It does look like some of the legendary indica strains may be more sedating and better for things that have to do with sleep. Some of the sativas may be more arousing and better for folks who really need to get through the day with pain without a whole lot of impairment in their cognitive functioning. But that's just a large general trend. And then the cannabidiol strains that we're just starting to identify, thanks to Project CBD, may have some advantages when it comes to things like seizure and other control of related spasm or things like that. But again, we're still just in the early stages.
All right. And of course, this is, you know, something we always harp on over and over again, is that without legalization, we can't move forward on a lot of these medical issues, just because the prohibition prevents the researchers from being able to access the marijuana that they need to be able to make these determinations. And of course, that we talk about the case of Professor Craker. Tell our listeners a little bit about what's involved in trying to study marijuana, since this is something that you're often tasked with doing, and how difficult prohibition makes that for legitimate science.
Oh, it's insane, in part because cannabis is classified as Schedule 1, which means high abuse potential and no medical use. That, of course, doesn't fit anybody's idea of what cannabis really is, particularly given its history of medical use. But this makes it so that without special dispensation from both the DEA and National Institute of Drug Abuse for funding, you really have a hell of a time getting a hold of cannabis to actually administer to folks in the lab. So I've never been approved to have that happen. And what a surprise, every time I apply, I wait 2 years and suddenly hear that my application was lost. Right. So Greg Carter and I have been working feverishly trying to just get this moved to Schedule 2 through a whole bunch of different means, and invariably the Department of Justice then says, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, where's form number X, you know, and it just completely drives us insane with paperwork and silliness, when in fact everybody knows I'd have a much easier time just going down the street and finding cannabis and I could give it to anyone. But no, if you actually want to have data that you can publish in a peer-reviewed journal, you've got to go through all these hoops, and it's just not going to happen for very many people in the United States.
Yeah, it's such a shame, and we'll keep doing everything we can, but just let's remind everyone that the full medicalization of marijuana is going to require some sort of legalization of marijuana, and that's something that I want everybody to understand, that we can't just go about this piecemeal. It's one plant, and prohibiting it for some people is prohibiting it for the others that need it medically. Let's end this prohibition for everyone.
No one is free till all are free.
That's right. Remember, everyone, if you want to get in touch personally with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, you can send your email to 420research@gmail.com and maybe even get a personal response. Or you can call back on next week's show. We visit every Wednesday with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our cannabis science segment. And Dr. Mitch, thanks again for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
All right, when we come back, we are going to do a little radical rant here, taking a look at the state of Idaho.
La cucaracha, ya no puede caminar.
You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Porque le falta marihuana que fumar.
You chip it.
The voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Hear the Cannabis Cure UK weekly news podcast every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, with replays at 11 p.m. Pacific. Also, catch the morning replays every Friday at 5 a.m. and the weekend replays every Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Normal Network.
Cannabis. Pop.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Geek? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, folks. Compassionate Idaho volunteers that you've met on this show, Lindsay Reinhart and Isaiah Valdez, who also happens to be the executive director of Idaho Normal, were featured in coverage of their campaign to pass a medical marijuana initiative by Boise's News Channel 7, aka KTVB, the top-rated news channel in the largest metropolitan area in the state. And also where I happened to grow up, I watched KTVB News all the time. And they should be ashamed of the biased, scaremongering piece that they have produced. I'm going to play some video for you. We'll interrupt it from time to time to get my commentary.
To next year's 2012 election, and there is a movement underway in Idaho to legalize medical marijuana. States all over the country are talking about the issue, and there is an aggressive effort now in the Gem State to put it on the ballot for a vote of the people. News Channel 7 Scott Evans traveled to a regional state where medical marijuana is already legal.
Idaho, a family-oriented state where people help their neighbors, and compassion is common.
Hi, sir. Would you like to sign the Idaho Medical Choice Act?
Isaiah Valdez hopes to capitalize on Idaho's compassion. He's a volunteer for Compassionate Idaho.
I appreciate it.
A grassroots group working to legalize medical marijuana.
All right. Now, first thing here. Notice the use of the word capitalize, a verb meaning to take advantage of, according to my dictionary. This opening could have been, Isaiah Valdez believes Idaho's compassion for others will lead them to support legalizing medical marijuana. But using the word capitalize, oh, it's such a competitive word, conjuring frames of opportunities that you capitalize on and businesses that capitalize on opportunities and, well, of course, capitalism.
I don't have a reason for medical marijuana. I'm just doing this for the compassion of other people.
And Valdez has a reason to believe others would have compassion as well. In February, Boise State surveyed 525 Idaho households and found 74% would support terminally and seriously ill patients to use and purchase marijuana for medical purposes. Lindsay Reinhart works with Valdez. They need 47,500 signatures to get a medical marijuana initiative on the November 2012 ballot.
This is about giving people the compassion that they deserve.
The marijuana policy.
All right. Now, let's get to this. Here at this point, we are at about 1 minute and 19 seconds into this piece, which is about 6 minutes long. And that's it. That's the end of the reporting on the people who are trying to get medical marijuana legalized. Now, interestingly, they asked Isaiah what his reason was for supporting medical marijuana, but not Lindsay. See, Isaiah is a healthy young man, but Lindsay suffers from multiple sclerosis. And I personally watched her testify to the public in Ontario this summer where the pain was on her face for 3 hours because she had to abstain from her cannabis use. And it's not as if the Idaho television stations aren't aware of this fact. I go to their competitor, Channel 12, KTRV reported this in May. Reinhart says she takes more than a dozen pills for pain, nausea, and nerve damage caused by her multiple sclerosis. She questions the long-term side effects of that medication, including opiates and narcotics that have proven to cause damage to the liver and kidneys in patients. What's more, Reinhart says independent research shows evidence that the medical use of cannabis, or high-grade marijuana, helps curb the symptoms of multiple sclerosis, helping to eliminate nausea and other pain-related conditions. Would it cut down on her use of painkillers? Quote, if I could use medical marijuana, I could probably eliminate or significantly reduce my intake of narcotics, end quote, Reinhart said. So, KTVB ignores an incredibly salient point. One of the people they're interviewing about passing medical marijuana is a poster child for the kind of legitimate patient Idahoans are currently willing to throw in prison for using the most safe and effective medicine to ease their pain. Instead of talking a little bit more about Lindsay and her sympathetic case here, they spend almost all of the remaining 70% of the piece reporting from Fort Collins, Colorado, interviewing cops and addiction specialists and school teachers about the perils that await should Idaho open the door to medical marijuana.
Project, a national organization, is efforting a state-by-state legalization of marijuana, and in this video targeted Idaho for 2012. Idaho, as you can see, is already surrounded by states where medical marijuana is legal in some form. The people of Colorado voted to legalize the drug in 2000. Up until a few years ago, the number of people who possessed cards allowing them to own marijuana for medical purposes was low. In 2008, the state went to a dispensary model, selling marijuana in storefronts.
In the past maybe two or three years, we've started to see the rise of real commercial marijuana dispensary businesses.
Fort Collins is a college town in Larimer County. Marijuana cards have increased 1,400% in the county in just 3 years.
There was no change in the health of our community, but the number of users, when the supply showed up commercially, we saw the users go up.
We've had an epidemic of chronic pain amongst our 20 to 40-year-old males, a public health concern unprecedented.
Scoot Crandall has been working in the Fort Collins area for over three decades. Much of it.
Yes, he's the executive director of one of these anti-drug organizations. That's interesting sarcasm there, Scoot. Kind of how, like, erectile dysfunction only affects 2.6% of middle-aged men, yet when Viagra hit the market, it's reported that up to 9% of men aged 18 to 31 had used it. But strange, we rarely ever hear any county sheriffs or drug counselors concerned about that recreational use of a medicine by healthy young men, despite the fact that Viagra abuse can kill, unlike marijuana. Now, indeed, there probably was no change in the health of the community. Like other communities, it likely has many people suffering from some form of chronic pain. The Institute of Medicine reported this year that, quote, chronic pain affects at least 116 million American adults, more than the total affected by heart disease, cancer, and diabetes combined, end quote. So, the thousands in Fort Collins who suffer from pain didn't change, but their ability to access a safe, non-toxic remedy for their pain did. It is no more surprising that a medical marijuana dispensary would be popular, that medical marijuana would be popular when dispensaries open, than we'd be surprised that a water fountain in the Sahara has a big line.
Spent in substance abuse prevention.
We've never seen the amount of marijuana in our town before.
Area schools have noticed that increase. In a letter to the Fort Collins City Council, Jerry Wilson, superintendent of the Poudre School District, said the district has seen the number of drug-related expulsions increase from 13 to 40 since 2008, a 300% increase. Wilson went on to say that students were expelled for either purchasing, selling, or possessing marijuana.
All right, what a junk statistic that is. How much more have you been shaking kids down for pot? Have you increased drug dog patrols? Have you instituted drug testing? Because you seem to be inferring that medical marijuana dispensaries have led to a tripling of marijuana use among teens. Now, if we actually look at the facts behind this, the National Survey on Drug Use and Health numbers show an increase in monthly teen cannabis use, now a teen defined as 12 years old to 17 years old, an increase in Colorado from 9.1% of teens using monthly to 10.19% of teens using monthly. And that is the greatest rate found in any of the United States, and it is an increase of 12%. However, it is difficult to pin this on medical marijuana in general or dispensaries in particular. Nationally, the rate of such monthly use increased 4.6%. Not all of those states had medical marijuana. In California, a state with dispensaries, they also got a 12% increase, similar to Colorado, but Montana, until recently a state with dispensaries, saw only a 2.3% increase, which was below the national rate. Arizona, which didn't have medical marijuana at the time, had an 11% increase, and Maine, which does have medical marijuana, saw a 6.2% or 6.7% decrease.
Don't see it as anything dangerous.
Statistics from the Colorado Department of Public Health show over 121,000 Coloradans hold marijuana cards. 94% say they need the marijuana for severe pain.
It's disturbing.
Well, this is another junk statistics when they say 94% of the patients need marijuana for severe pain. It's the same trick they try to pull here in Oregon to convince people that almost all medical marijuana cards are from people trying to fake it for pain. Here's the way that this works. As the department's website notes, this is the Colorado Department of Public Health Medical Marijuana Division, quote, severe pain accounts for 94% of all reported conditions. Muscle spasms account for the second most reported condition at 19%. Note that percentages do not add up to 100% because some patients have more than one condition, end quote. Cancer causes pain. Cachexia causes pain. HIV/AIDS causes pain. Multiple sclerosis causes pain. People using medical marijuana in Colorado for conditions other than pain total 45,527. That's 37.5% of the patients saying they need medical marijuana for reasons other than severe pain. As for the 62.5% or more who use medical marijuana solely to treat pain, so what? They had a visit to a doctor, and they got documentation of their condition. They had to show chart notes to a clinic to verify 3 years' worth of treatment for that pain. They paid $90 million to a state. That's almost $11 million this year alone. As we mentioned above, millions of Americans suffer from pain, and they're consuming 30 billion doses a year of over-the-counter NSAIDs like Advil and Aleve, including 70 million prescriptions for stronger NSAIDs like Celebrex. It is estimated that more than 100,000 Americans are hospitalized each year, and between 15 and 20,000 Americans die each year from ulcers and gastrointestinal bleeding linked with NSAID use.
We've got a very nice community here. People have worked really hard over the years to build a quality community in Fort Collins, and I see that starting to come apart with us being the pot capital of northern Colorado.
Citizens Against the Dispensaries gathered enough signatures to put a measure on this year's ballot banning dispensaries in Fort Collins.
Just kind of seeing through the smoke and mirrors, it does look like it's just become a front for recreational use.
They vote on the measure on November 8th. About an hour south of Fort Collins is Boulder, where the University of Colorado is asking marijuana outlets to stop advertising to college students.
We had medical marijuana dispensaries directly appealing and marketing to our students, our new students, our freshman students coming in.
Just last month, the Boulder City Council reacted with an ordinance making it illegal for marijuana dispensaries to advertise use other than medicinal.
We thought it was self-evident that medical marijuana was for medical purposes.
But Boulder Mayor Susan Osborne says the movement is not about medicine.
It's a lot about money.
For $200, Coloradans can buy a card that allows them to legally possess marijuana.
Now, wait a minute. Not just any Coloradan can walk into a door somewhere and throw $200 on the counter and walk out with a medical marijuana card. That's not how it works, and it's definitely not how the Idaho program would work.
University freshmen were open about this issue.
How hard is it to get marijuana around here, even if you don't have a card?
It's pretty easy.
Are people that sick?
I don't know. I don't think so.
What do you think it is?
Recreational.
What do you know about...
Yeah, let's ask a bunch of 18-year-old college kids what they think. As if any college kid on any campus in America has any difficulty scoring a dime bag now. As if CU Boulder wasn't already the site of the nation's largest 420 smokeout long before any dispensaries existed.
Medical marijuana cards.
They're really easy to get, and it's just... Some people need them, but some people just want them.
Some use the drug to self-medicate.
It helps them sleep, or like they just like it at the end of the day, like help them calm down, you know? So like they found their own way to like use it as a medical thing.
Boulder and Fort Collins are adapting as the marijuana industry grows in their communities.
Once this gets started, it's a train that's hard to slow down.
If you open the door on the medicinal, what's sold as medicinal, be aware it was opening the door to recreational use.
Be afraid! If you allow a suffering person like Lindsay to ease the excruciating pain she feels from multiple sclerosis by using medical marijuana without threat of arrest, why, a freshman at Boise State might smoke pot. Never mind that one in three of those freshmen are smoking marijuana this year anyway. It doesn't matter how many more people suffer if we can stop one adult from lighting a doobie.
Idaho's future has yet to be written.
To put medical marijuana
Compassionate Idaho hopes that whatever the future holds, marijuana will be a part of it.
It's time to stop arresting patients. It's time to stop arresting people that have marijuana for personal medical use.
Scott Evans, Idaho's News, Channel 7.
Idaho's initiative, the Idaho Medical Choice Act, would allow people with a debilitating medical condition to possess marijuana. They would need to be allowed to possess 2 ounces or less of usable marijuana. The law would also allow them to own 9 plants. To see the entire act, we have it available for you online at KTVB.
Yeah, online. And let's point out some of the things in that act that you failed to point out. The fact is that we're talking about two different states here to start with, but let me get to a couple of these things. Both Colorado and Idaho's proposal would allow 2-ounce possession. Colorado only allows cultivation of 3 mature plants, 3 immature. Idaho would be 5 mature, 4 immature. Colorado requires strict verification of 1 of 8 qualifying conditions. Idaho has the same 8 qualifying conditions. But that's where the similarities end. In Colorado, they have a commercial dispensary system that any legal patient can go to, whereas Idaho would require a non-profit dispensary system that a patient would have to register and could only go to that one center. And in Colorado, there's no statutory limit on how much marijuana and how often can be dispensed, whereas the Idaho dispensary, the one you're allowed to sign up and go to, may only dispense to you 2 ounces of marijuana at any 2-week period. Talking about Idaho, and you want to do 70% of your story dedicated to Fort Collins, Colorado. Shame on you, KTVB. We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes.